Well, last week we discussed a subject that I think is so vital in our Christian walk. Is that too loud? Something that is so vital to our Christian walk, and it was called the necessary puzzle piece. And how many here this afternoon know what the necessary puzzle piece is in receiving your miracle from God? How many here this afternoon need a miracle from God? You're needing God to do something in your life, whether it be healing, material provision, deliverance from alcohol or drugs. You're needing God to do something in your life. How many here this afternoon? Well, you know, the Bible tells us what the necessary puzzle piece is in the spiritual walk with God. And it says clearly that there's one thing which pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to, and we'll read that. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Before you can receive a miracle from God, it just makes sense that you've got to believe that God exists, right? That He's alive and well in this world. And you know, some of you may have struggled with the thought that God really exists because you can't see Him. Somebody shared with me recently, how can I really believe that God exists if I can't see or really touch Him? But friends, it takes faith to believe that God exists. Now, we believe that the air exists, right? We can't see it, right? But we feel its effects. On a cold, wintry day or on a blustery day, you can go outside and you can watch the wind, the air, blow the leaves and bend the trees, right? You see the effects of the air, right? Though you can't see the air, because you see the effects, the leaves blowing, the trees bending, you believe that air exists, right? The cause is the air. It's the same way with God. You can't really see Him with your physical eyes, right? But we can see the effects in this world, right? Look at the beauty of nature, friends. Look at the complexity of the human body. God has wonderfully created each and every single one of us. You know, we are complicated human beings physically. We look at the beauty of nature, the sky, the trees, the shrubs, the human body. These are the effects. And we come to conclude that there is a cause behind these effects. And that cause is God. He is the creator behind nature. He is the creator behind the human body. Amen? So, if you ever doubt the existence of God, look outside. Look at your own human body. There's got to be the great creator, the great cause behind it. His name is Father God. So he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, what kind of faith is God looking for in us? In bringing us the miracle we need. God is looking for a faith that is what? Childlike. A doubtless faith. Think of that little girl, 2 or 3 years old, who loves her daddy. And her daddy comes home after a long day's work, walks into the front door. And that little girl does what? She runs into daddy's arms, right? Maybe that was you at one point. You ran into your daddy's arms. You knew that your daddy was out for your best. You trusted your daddy undoubtedly. There was not 1 ounce of doubt concerning your daddy's goodness. He provided your shelter. He provided your bed. He provided your food, your hugs, and your kisses. So you trusted your daddy without any doubts at all. That's a childlike faith. And guess what? That's the exact kind of faith that God is looking for. Why? Because God is our heavenly daddy. He's looking for us to trust in Him and to know that He is out for our best, to give us good things. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:11. If you then being evil, in other words, if you earthly fathers having the sin nature know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? If our daddies, our earthly daddies, gave us good things or give their children good things, how much more so will our heavenly daddy give us good things. So God is looking for what kind of faith? He's looking for a childlike faith, friends. And number two, God is looking for what kind of faith? A persistent and diligent faith. A persistent and a diligent faith. In other words, a faith that does not give up. Right? You know, you may have been believing God for your miracle 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 2 months or 3 months. And you're like, man, it hasn't happened yet. When is God going to step in? Well, remember Abraham. Abraham was 75 years old when God said, I am going to make you into a great nation. I am going to make your offspring like the sand on the seashore and like the stars in the sky. Right? He was 75. Now, when did the promised son come to Abraham? When did the promised son, when was the promised son born to Abraham's wife, Sarah? When she was 90, when he was 100. Abraham believed for how many years? 25 years. He was 75 when God promised him that he would make him into a great nation. Isaac was the one through whom the great nation would come. And Isaac came when Abraham was 100. So 100 minus 75 is 25. Abraham waited in faith 25 years without giving up. Without quitting. If Abraham did it, friends, you and I can do the very same thing. God is looking for a faith in us that does not give up. Even if your miracle doesn't come instantly. Even if it doesn't come tomorrow. God wants us to keep believing Him for the thing that we need. Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We can turn there if you'd like. It's a good scripture. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Let's not give up on our faith in God. Let's continue to believe Him through the thick and the thin. You're going to have some mountaintop experiences with God. And your faith will soar. But at other times, you'll have some really low valley experiences. Now, when you have those low valley experiences, don't give up on God. Keep believing like Abraham did and his miracle came. So what is the necessary puzzle piece that God is looking for in us in order for us to receive the miracle that He has for us? It's what? What's that necessary puzzle piece? That childlike, persistent faith. Now, this afternoon, I want to talk about something else concerning this whole issue of receiving your miracle from God. God is looking for faith in us. But you know what? You've got to have a good self-image of yourself. If you think of yourself as this small, if you are so low that you can do a push-up under a penny, thinking to yourself, man, I can't receive anything from God. I've done so many wrong things in the past. Then you know what? You may not receive that miracle. You've got to have a good and positive image of yourself. Do you agree with that this afternoon? A positive image of yourself. Now, how is God's value of you determined? God's value of you is determined by the price that was paid for you. Remember, God is the just judge of the universe, right? And sin requires what? Sin requires a penalty to be paid, right? For the wages of sin is death. And from the Old Testament, what did God require for the payment of sin?
Death.
He required the shedding of blood. So in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals, right? And their blood would be shed. But the Old Testament system of sacrificing animals and shedding the blood of animals lasted for just a short while. That was called atonement. What is atonement? Atonement is just covering over your sin for a certain length of time and for a certain group of people. Right? So this system of sacrifices began in the Old Testament. But God, even in the New Covenant, required, in the New Testament, required sacrifice, the shedding of blood for sin. And God, in His mercy, friends, realized that you and I could not pay for our sins. So what did He do? He went about to send His very best 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ, God the Son. And He was what? He was the perfect sacrifice. His blood was shed once and for all. And His blood that was shed did not cover over sin. It erased our sin in the heart and in the mind of Almighty God. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 this afternoon. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1. Verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, verse 12. Talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. Hebrews 10, 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, in the Old Testament, when the blood of animals were shed for sin, the blood of animals were like an eraser. How many here, when you were maybe in grade school, would write down your notes with a pencil? How many here ever used a pencil? You've written with pencils in the past, right? And let's say you wanted to kind of get rid of a word that you wrote. What did you do? You erased it, right? And it got rid of the word that you wrote so you could write another word in its place. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is like, friends. The blood of Jesus Christ is like that eraser. When you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord in the heart and in the mind of God, your sins were erased. God did not see those sins anymore. In the Old Testament, when the blood of animals were shed for sin, that was like whiteouts, right? How many have used whiteouts? You write a word with a pen. You want to kind of cover over that word so you can write another word down. So you use whiteouts. It just kind of covers over the word. The blood of animals in the Old Testament system of sacrifices was like whiteout. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb that was slain, is like an eraser. It blots out our sins in the sight and in the mind and in the heart of Almighty God. Amen? You are now the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you ever thought about this subject before. What does the righteousness of Jesus Christ mean? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin, or to be a sin offering for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Friends, let me tell you this here this afternoon. You may have done some pretty bad things in your past. You may have thought and said some pretty bad things. But guess what? When you accepted Jesus as Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ erased those sins in the mind and in the heart of God. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness when you accepted Jesus, so that all the sins you committed from your past up till the point that you accepted Jesus were erased in the heart of God. Does that make sense? When you said, Jesus, be my Savior and be my Lord, all of your past sins were erased in the heart of Almighty God. We have been justified. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Being justified is another way of saying that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. So when you accepted Jesus, you became the righteousness of God in Christ, right? When you accepted Jesus, another way of saying that is that you became justified in the eyes of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. When you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness. You became justified. When you think of the word justified, think this: just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. The point is this, friends. You may have beaten yourself up over the past things that you've done, the sins that you committed. Maybe it was wrong, immoral relationships. Maybe it was abusing alcohol and drugs. Maybe it was thinking wrong thoughts. Maybe it was cussing with your mouth. And you might have done some really bad things. You might be thinking, how could God forgive me? Friends, God forgave you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you became justified, just as if I had never sinned, in the heart and in the minds of God. Don't beat yourself up. Don't imprison yourself by your past. And you know, you may want to marry a certain person. And maybe you're thinking this afternoon, well, I'm not worthy of marrying that person because of my promiscuous past. Well, remember, when you accepted Jesus as Savior, it was just as if I had never been promiscuous. Just as if I had never been involved with those wrong relationships. Maybe you're wanting to reestablish a relationship with a parent or someone else, and you backtalk them in the past. And you're thinking, well, I can't reestablish that relationship because I abused that person. But remember, when you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you were justified, just as if I had never backtalked that person. You know, friends, maybe you're wanting to apply for a certain job. Maybe, let's say, at Walmart. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I can never get a job there because I shoplifted there at one time. But remember, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became justified, just as if I had never shoplifted. Does this make sense? When you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, your sins were erased, just as if I had never sinned. Maybe at one time in the past, friends, you down-talked the Word of God. And maybe God has called you to a teaching ministry, maybe to preach His Word. And you might be thinking to yourself this afternoon, well, I could never teach the Word of God because in the past, I down-talked the Word of God. But remember, when you accepted Jesus as Savior, you were justified, just as if I had never down-talked the Word of God. You cannot be held behind the bars in the prison of the past. When the enemy tries to bring up your past, rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can't condemn me anymore. When I accepted Jesus, I was justified, and all my sins in the mind and in the heart of God were erased. They were forgotten. And friends, you've got to see yourself the way God sees you. Don't keep going back to your past and thinking about the things you did in the past. Because God doesn't think about you that way. When God looks at you today, guess who He sees? He sees Jesus, the perfect one. Think about this. How many here have ever been to an Easter play? How many here have ever been to an Easter play at a church, maybe? Okay, just imagine that somebody is playing the role of Jesus in that play. Let's say, for the point of illustrating this, let's say I'm playing the part of Jesus, Jonathan, right? And I'm playing the part of Jesus in this Easter play. And, you know, the whole scene is going on. You see the people there in Israel, and they're doing their daily activities. And all at once, I, who am playing the part of Jesus in the play, I walk out on stage, right? Remember, I'm playing the part of Jesus in the play. When I walk out on stage, you're not thinking about Jonathan, right? You're not thinking about me, just a human being. When I walk out on stage, you're thinking about Jesus. You don't see me, you see Jesus, right? Now, friends, it's the same way with us. Let's apply this spiritually. When God looks at you, He doesn't see the sinner that you were in the past. He sees Jesus. He sees you justified, just as if I had never sinned. In order to receive your miracle from God, you've got to have faith in God, but you've also got to see yourself as God sees you, as a person of value, as a person of worth, as a person who can have greater things through Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. So plain and so clear. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, actually. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Remember, when God looks at you, friend, He sees Jesus. And here's the secret. You have got to see yourself how? As whom sees you? You've got to see yourself as God sees you. You've got to see yourself as God sees you. What does the Bible say in Proverbs? As a man thinks within himself, so is he. As a man thinketh within himself, so is he. As you think about yourself, friend, is the way you're going to act towards yourself. As you think about yourself, will be the way you act toward yourself. It's in Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. As a man thinketh within himself, so is he. If you think of yourself as, man, I was a sinner in the past. If you see yourself as defeated, broken down, never able to go ahead in life because of your past, that's where you'll be in life, friends. You won't get ahead. But if you see yourself as God sees you, as a new creation, as justified, as just as if I had never sinned, as a new creation, as brand new in Jesus, then guess what? You can go to the places where God is wanting you to go. Friends, He's got a great plan and a great destiny for your life. He's got something so special in store for you. But remember, as you think about yourself, so will you act towards yourself. And how do you start thinking? How should you start thinking about yourself? The way God thinks about you, right? As a new creation, as all of your sins having been erased. See, when you accepted Jesus as Savior, friend, from that point and before, all those sins were erased. Now, you know, in walking out this Christian life, in walking out your relationship with God, with Jesus, you're going to mess up, right? You're going to get weak at times and slip and sin again. But the Word of God says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them. We've got to make an effort to try to overcome those weaknesses. And in our own strength, sometimes we're too weak, right? So when you become weak and you're trying to overcome that weakness, maybe alcohol, maybe a wrong relationship, maybe drugs, if you're trying to overcome it and you're like, God, I'm trying, but I just can't do it. God, give me the strength. And guess what? God gives you His grace and the strength to overcome that weakness and that sin. You say, God, I tried, but I messed up, I slipped, I sinned. God, I am sorry. And guess what? God says, you're forgiven. That sin is forgotten in my sight. Friends, He loves you so very much. He loves you so very much. Remember, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. When God sees you, who does He see? He sees Jesus. When you said, Jesus be my Savior, remember this. When you said, Jesus be my Savior and my Lord, all of your sins from the point that you accepted Jesus and before were what? They were erased in the heart and in the mind of God. God was like, wow, this is a brand new creation. When I look at them, I see Jesus. And when you look at yourself, see Jesus. See yourself as justified and as new. Don't condemn yourself concerning the past. Whenever thoughts of condemnation come up concerning the past, guess who's putting those thoughts there? The devil, because he is the accuser of the brethren. He is a liar and the father of all lies. He's the one accusing you and condemning you. You just rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Quote the word and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. So you get out of my life, out of my mind, and out of my heart, Satan. I am God's child. I am justified, just as if I had never sinned. And whenever you do slip up, what do? Say, God, I tried. God, give me the strength, and I'm sorry, and God will forgive you. Amen? So God is requiring faith for you to receive the miracle that you need, but you've also got to see yourself in a positive light, right? Don't beat yourself up concerning your past, because remember, your past is in the past. In the heart and in the mind of God, it's erased. You become the righteousness of God. You've been justified, just as if I had never sinned. See yourself that same way, the way God sees you, as a brand new creation. Amen? Amen. All right. And as you see yourself the way God sees you, you will go ahead and forward with what God has got for you. Amen? All right.